the 13th chapter of the book of John. And supper being ended, verse 2, the devil having now put in their heart as Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all these hands, that he was come from God and went to God to rise supper, and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, with that, don't bother turning. I'm going to turn myself to John chapter 6 and see if I can just get it for you. And it says here, and Jesus said unto the 12, when all the people left him, will you go also? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. It was he who should betray him, the one of the 12. So, all right, Judas is literally the devil. The devil incarnates Judas at this time. He rises to supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself, and poured water in the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with his girdle, and he came to Simon Peter. See, Simon wasn't the first one. And by the time he got to Simon, Simon had the whole thing figured out. He's a very humble man, Simon. He said, Lord, he said, you wash my feet? He said, yep. He said, you know what I'm doing now, but you'll know after. He said, no, he said, you'll never wash my feet. I'm going to wash yours this time. Quite a fellow this time, didn't he? He's a sheep, all right. Still hadn't got used to taking the word of God, though. Well, Simon, he gives us courage. Gives us great hope that we'll learn to take the word like Simon. He became a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful brother. Fantastic person. Christ loved him. He loved John. John might have been the favorite in some respects, but Peter got the keys. So that's pretty good. That makes us all the happier still. You're going to identify Peter tonight, praise the Lord. But not anymore in this. We've learned our lesson. He said, all right, he said, look at it, he said, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, uh-huh. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Jesus said, not my feet only then, my hands, but my head. Jesus said, you're wrong again, Peter. You're going too far again. He said, why don't you just settle down to foot washing? You know, people always want to take things too far. I don't know why it is, but that's a human nature. That's right, to be dismissed. Of course, there's no further dismissing after this service. You just, nor the foot washing service is held. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, as we depart from this service into another little service, Father, we pray you a blessed also, God. May your Holy Spirit come down upon us, Lord, in the anointing that is required for foot washing, Father, humility and understanding and grace extended to us, Lord. May we extend it to others. Be with us as we go home to have rest and peace. Some will have fellowship, Lord, which is very fine and wonderful, but we pray, Lord, that the fellowship might be in Christ Jesus, our Savior, to come again tomorrow, Lord, to worship your great and holy name, to serve more for you. Now, Father, we pray that you will seal this word into our hearts and minds by the Holy Ghost tonight, Father. We are laboring and desiring as never before to engage in this battle, O God, and to come forth as victors, the great battle of Armageddon, the ultimate, Lord, putting your word in our minds and keeping it there. O God, we just pray in Jesus' name that we will come to that place very, very speedily, Lord, because we know it is requisite. It must evolve upon us. So, Father, we commend ourselves toward it in hope and joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. Just consider yourself dismissed. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we want to just speak our hearts to you tonight, Lord, asking you that you would forgive us our sins, those omission and commission, whatsoever, Lord, has been against you in our thoughts, our minds, our heart, whatever, Lord, motivation, whatever, Lord. We just pray you'll cleanse us tonight by the washing of water, the word, not rejecting the blood, but knowing the blood has stood for us all this time, that circle around the earth, or we would certainly be destroyed. Father, we thank you for mercy and grace. Help us now that we might understand you in your word more, Lord, and appreciate and love you more than ever before. Be one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It'll soon be dark outside. Therefore, we won't take too long a little thought we might have for you concerning a little bit on the Lord's Supper, if we may just look at it that way. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, that's a scriptural statement. I suppose you might call it a bit philosophical. It's doctrinal. It's a principle. Now, you know that many times we are doing something, or we have seen something or heard something, and then further information comes, and we say, well, that throws a different light on it. In other words, you're seeing things because something has transpired to give you an insight. And I believe that's what this verse here is bringing up primarily, that all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It's telling us here that whatever is able to bring something into the correct view, to give us an enlightenment, is definitely light. And it tells us here that since all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, that whenever something comes along that brings out something that is in this state here in the Bible, showing that whatever comes and reproves that particular condition or peoples or things, it is evident that whatever is wrong cannot stay in that state and be approved of God. And I hope you caught what I'm saying. As simple as ABC, the judge stands at the door. And one's going to be right and one's going to be wrong. So it says here now, when something comes on the scene, something that brings us further light, which is revelation, then it is for the purpose of making known what is wrong. And of course, if you know what is wrong, then you would know what is right, but not axiomatically. Because you can say, well, I know that's wrong, but I don't know what is right. I know that's wrong, but I don't know if this would be right. So you have to have something more than just a disapproval or a manifestation which would show that something's wrong. Like, this is tragic, but you go to a garage and it's horrible. Well, this doesn't work, and that doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and that doesn't work. Well, what in the world does work? Where's the mechanics and tell you something, how to do the thing? Where's the man that can give you the answers? My mail is full of things. What's wrong? What's wrong? Like I said this morning, anybody knows what's wrong. Except in the church. Wretched, miserable, naked, blind, don't know it. And they're not looking for anything because they believe what they got's just fine, right? But normally speaking, I think just about anybody who's had a modicum of the Spirit of God, and I think that carries an awful broad spectrum, know that something is wrong. So it says here that whenever, whatever it is, comes on the scene, and it is evidently by God, or it wouldn't be in this portion of Scripture here, and it begins to show up certain conditions, you know that God is dealing with the people. He is sending light. Now, that's what we're thinking of here. And when we think of this, we go back to John, the Gospel. The first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In other words, well, let's keep reading. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There is a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came as witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light, which was Jesus the Christ. That was the light which lighteth every man that come to the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. All right. What we're seeing here then is the thought of John 1 and 4, in him was life. Now, therefore, you're noticing here that God used life, which is Zoe, which is life in a manifested form, in order to cause the people to know what was right and what was wrong. Now, God in any form of manifestation is light. In other words, as the judge coming upon the scene to separate sheep from goats, the tares from the wheat, the chaff from the wheat, comes by manifestation. As Brother Branham said, God did not only go down to Egypt with Moses and manifest himself in signs and wonders, but he himself was manifest in the pillar of fire, even so today, like the pillar of fire we see on the wall there in that picture. So, we're looking at this scripture here then, with this fact in mind concerning God manifesting himself. And back there, he manifested himself in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, the human body. And the world could not receive it. The religious world in particular could not take it. With the result, they crucified the Lord of glory. For the Bible said, if they had known it was the Lord of glory, they would not have crucified him. So they didn't see, they didn't understand. There was nothing that could wake up within them. All they could do was disapprove of him. And you notice that God disapproved them, and they disapproved God. And you got to look at this in the same light as the Alpha and Omega scripture. Now, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. In other words, before there can be any judgment at all, there's got to be something manifested whereby the judge then is perfectly honorable in discharging a judgment. All right, then there must be a place then where men can be awakened, can be brought to a place where they cannot say, well, you did not do something about this situation. Because when you're dealing with redemption, then God continually is doing something about the situation. Now, so wherefore he said, awake thou the sleepers, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, it tells you right here, there's going to be a time of light given to those that are asleep and arise from amongst the dead. Now, you know when you're going to rise from amongst the dead. That word is akin to the first resurrection where Paul mentions that we come forth, that's the out-resurrection from among the dead. Okay. This is the same thing right here. At the end time, I will destroy her and her children with death. But there's that, remember the parallels in the scripture. There are going to be those that are merely sleeping amongst the dead, and when they awaken, then they will receive light from Christ. Now, one of the best things to awaken anybody is a nice bright light in the eyes when you're lying in a dark room. Because right away you're going to get an impulse, you'll get a winch. Now, some people can sleep through anything because they're dead. But the ones that aren't dead spiritually will wake up. Now, notice in here that in the first stage, it starts in the last stage, it comes to us that we can arise from amongst the dead. Then see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with the wine, or is excessive, be filled with the Spirit, and so on. Then it gets into the picture of the bride and groom here, which is the wedding supper. So what we're looking at here then is the 14th verse, wherefore he said, awake thou the sleepers, and arise the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Okay? Now Paul is talking to the Gentile church. So, we're going back to Matthew, the 12th chapter again. And in the verse 17 verse of Matthew 12, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And then he shall not cry, the bruised be not break, and so on, and in him the Gentiles shall trust. All right? Now with that, we read Matthew 4, that Brother Branham put ahead of Matthew 12. I put Matthew 12 ahead of Matthew 4 because I like it better. And here's why he put it there. And it says here, verse 14 again, same verse. It might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Now one place they're sleeping, one place they're sitting. They saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now to the Gentiles, it was the people that saw the light. So over here, we have the light shining because God has manifested the signs and wonders which he did through the man. Camera catches the picture, the same over here, which is the light which gets our attention, manifestation of God, to come out from amongst the dead and to wake up to reality. Because the people need to wake up to reality. Now let's see the picture finally over here in Hebrews 6. And we'll just close right off and have the table, Lord, because I'm leading right up to the fact of crucifying themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Okay. It says here, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, the final consummation, where if you add anything to it, it's blemished. Take anything from it, it's blemished. It means a finished, perfect thing, polished, ready, absolutely prime peak where it's supposed to be. All right, not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works, and the faith toward God, to a doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrects the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now remember, God is going to permit. He couldn't do it before. God couldn't permit Adam and Eve to go to the tree of life. He can now. Permission is granted. For it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partaken of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now back there, when he came in full manifestation to the Jews, they crucified and killed him. The very life that God set amongst them, they attempted to destroy, which they did to a degree. Now, at this time, he comes to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, in their dazed condition, the bride, sleeping amongst the dead. Because remember, they were all sleeping when the cry came to the virgins, come on out and behold him. Didn't say meet him, come on out and behold him. And that's the beholding that brought them to the going into the supper. Now that's perfect with 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So, notice in here, at the time of the complete and full manifestation and revelatory witness of a message of God to the people, they fall away and there is no further repentance. In other words, the mind can never be referred to again or renewed because there are no minds left to be renewed. Second death has hit all of these people once the bride is gone. And that's where you have souls in judgment, souls that are now in prison. And there's nothing you're going to do about it. There's nothing anybody's going to do about it. The foolish virgin will die. They'll be destroyed. Nobody wants them. Because they're going to have to take a stand, and they will. The bride will be gone, and the rest, having crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, they put him to an open shame. Now that's a very, very strong statement, that when you crucify the Son of God afresh, that's to themselves, and you're putting him to an open shame, it means that the very purpose and plan of God has failed as far as you're concerned, because you want your own way. And they'll get it. They'll die for it. So, we're looking at then the communion table tonight on the very grounds of accepting that we have no right to take communion, far as I'm concerned, as a legitimate, edifying, Christ-honoring right in the church. Unless we realize that Hebrews 13:8 has not departed out of the Bible and does not have the interpretation of denomination, but has actually the full scope that God himself put in it, starting with Genesis 18, that God never fails to do exactly what God wants to do in the way he does it, which he himself has always been that way, through manifesting himself to the prophet and through the prophet, to bring us into a place where we have a security, because there has to be some manifestation in order to bring a real truth. Now, lots of people can philosophize, and they can come very close to the things of God. I appreciate that. I can pick up dozens of commentaries. I can pick up many things and read them, and I've read them. And I must admit that they say many, many good things. They say many wonderful things. And we appreciate that. But when it comes to this hour, they're in total darkness as to what this hour is. Well, my brother, sister, let me tell you this. If you were able to cure every one of my diseases all through my life until it came time to cure this disease, and you were baffled at the disease I now have, you're useless to me. And that's exactly what we're looking at. We cannot take, Brother Branham said, the dead manna. Now, we have never been close communicants to disbar anybody. Never have barred anybody, never will bar anybody. Foot washed anything else. I know some churches do that because they feel that they do. We don't do that here for one reason. You judge yourself. I do not judge anybody. But I make this statement, and I make it very, very carefully. And that is, when light comes to us, when light comes, as in this hour, of the Son of God being crucified to the people afresh, to themselves, not himself, because they cannot do that. You are speaking of the blood that was shed. You're speaking now in terms, as far as I'm concerned, of a communion table of the Lord. And so, as we examine ourselves, say, do we really believe that God Almighty, in his providence, has sent a man that has been vindicated? Now, we don't apprehend everything the man said. My goodness me. I look at some of the things Brother Branham said, and I look at them and I say, well, I can understand to a point. It isn't understanding everything right down the line. I don't believe we may never understand everything he said. We don't have to understand everything he said. Remember, he stood on the vindication that God gave him. And we stand on that too, and we believe it. Our whole message, our whole life, just stands on this one thing. God sent a prophet, actually Elijah, to this hour. We believe it. And as we believe it, that's an evidence right there of the Holy Spirit indwelling and moving in our lives, which I believe is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because as Brother Branham said, how can any man possibly deny the Word of God and say he's full of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost wrote the Bible himself? We're looking at that tonight, and we judge ourselves and say, do I really believe? Do I believe the prophet? Do I believe God and the man that he sent? Because look, you and I have no revelation of ourselves. It would be nice to pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, look, I don't need anybody. I mean, be nice in the sense, wouldn't we look pretty good? You know, we could talk to ourselves, say, you know, we're doing fine. But not, we cannot do that. We're relying solely and wholly upon what was delivered to us by manifestation, the same as was in the days of Israel. Now, can you tell me that any Israelite, without accepting the hour of the visitation, of the manifestation of God, that he would have any right to a communion table? Well, you say he wouldn't want in the first place. That's true. You hear something? They wouldn't want ours in the second place. They wouldn't want ours in the second place. Let's be honest. They wouldn't want it based on what I'm saying. Because they say, hey, I can't believe that. Now, that's a phenomenon, all right, but that's not what you say to me. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is a better authority than Moses to let you know what happened to Moses? Who is a better authority than Paul to let you know what happened to Paul? Who is a better authority than John the Baptist to know what happened to John the Baptist? Who is a better authority than Jesus Christ himself to tell what happened to Jesus Christ? Who is a better authority than Luther to tell you about Luther? Who's a better authority than Wesley to tell you about Wesley? And who's a better authority than William Branham to tell about William Branham and the grace and mercy of God? Now, I believe that's what we're looking at. And we're just, this follows through with everything I've been saying for the last few weeks. The complete dedication, the complete identification. So that, as we partake, we may be unique in our understanding and our thoughts. Excluding nobody. That's up to God. But we ourselves build on the proposition. The hope that we have, and what we need to be vindicated. The light has come. God has manifested. Eating and drinking now, in the presence of Almighty God. We believe what happened in our hour. We believe the world sets in judgment. We believe we've all been judged. We've got to understand that and know that, brother, sister. The world of Noah was judged 120 years before it collapsed. Only those in the ark in the 120 years ate them and got through. Let's understand the scripture and not be fooling tonight. See, some of you give up father and mother, sister, brother for this message. I never had to give up anybody. They gave me up, I guess. I'm sort of like the Jonah got pushed out of the way, whatever it is. I care less. Now, some of you gave up a lot. Why did you give it up? To take up your cross and follow him. Not as others follow him, but follow uniquely that we worship God, which to others is called heresy. So I believe tonight we're heretical worshipers, heretical partakers in the eyes of the world. I think a lot of people wouldn't want to come and sit with us. They wouldn't have a thing to do with us. But you know, that's all right. That's all right, fine. That's, I believe, the will of the Lord. The monarchs and deacons would please come forward this time. We're going to serve. And remember, as soon as you're served, you may, it's dark. Communion. You may go downstairs to the rooms and have foot wash together, which is fine, because we know you have a long way to go. Shall we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace, Lord. Your kind consideration to us tonight, Father, that you did send us a prophet
But you came yourself, Lord. It's so nice to know that you just didn't send somebody. That would have been the same way then back in the days of your sojourn upon flesh. Just send somebody and let it go. That you didn't do that. But you came down and dwelt in his form, Lord, and dwelt among men. And even today you've done the same thing right here tonight in the pillar of fire, though we can't see you. Right here tonight we honor the fact of what you manifested. It has been, and it brought the light, Lord. And it brought us to the place where there's now no condemnation, but you are in Christ Jesus who walk in the light. And understand, we thank you for it, Lord. We only pray, Father, that all men might come and see the light, that all men might have a partaking of this, because we would not want to see anybody go out, Lord, because we're all blood-related somehow. We're all one big family on earth. We do not like to see that happen, but we're always so glad and so happy, Lord, to see those who do come and those who respect, Lord, what you have done in this last hour. Yep. Though none of us understand it perfectly. Looking for more, for perfect understanding. Bless each one, Lord. May each one confess his or her sins, O God, as we come, Lord, partaking amongst ourselves, not looking at anybody, not looking to anybody, but looking to you, O God. Help us, we pray, the main of this service and the foot washing, that as we leave here, we may go better people than we've ever been before, understanding more than ever, Lord, as we walk in the light and see what you have done, so that there is nothing, Lord, that doesn't have a meaning to us in this hour as it not had previously. Heal us tonight, Lord, as we come forward and partake. We know the double cure is there, O God. The prophet said, absolutely, he was sent, Lord, with the gift of healing, sent, Lord, to pray for the sick. We know that has not deteriorated, has not dwindled, Lord. But even as you've increased more and more, then, Lord, these things should increase amongst us, the natural, scriptural way that's been said in the church. So help us now tonight as we just compose our hearts, asking, Lord, to forgive us of every sin and help us in every way, O God. From this moment forward, live better, more honorable, consecrated Christian lives, O God, with your help, with your will, not in our own strength, by our own desires, but because of you and for you. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Lord, bless the emblems. Consecrate the night, O God. We realize they have a very special importance to us tonight, representing without a doubt the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we cannot thank you enough for what you've done. We know that people don't understand this. The world doesn't understand. They might even think it's a pagan, old-fashioned God idea, which so many people do. But, Lord, we know it's the right up-to-date, wonderful fashion God who gave it to us. And we rejoice in it tonight, Lord, knowing the strength that lies in it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Shall we just rise at this time, Brother Lloyd? And then we will go on to this part of the service. Reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, as usual. For I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this remembrance of me. Now, remember, he didn't break a piece off his body and give it to anybody, he just took a piece of bread. So I could never be convinced that transubstantiation has anything to do with the word of Almighty God. Not for any consideration whatsoever. After this matter also, he took the cup and he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. And that wasn't blood at all. It was wine. This do is also drinking in remembrance of me. So I believe you eat ordinary bread and you drink ordinary wine. As Brother Branham said, prepared by the hands of godly women and godly men. And we do that. But I can tell you one thing. Taken by Holy Ghost-filled Christians who are full of the Word of God and full of faith, it gives a life to us. It is a life beyond human nature. That's what we're looking at. We walk in the light as he is the light. We have fellowship with him in the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us. And to all men we have love. It may sound like it sometimes, we don't, but when you take a stand for the Word, there are lots of times you don't look too loving. I don't think Jesus looked exactly like the sweet babe of Bethlehem when he took those thongs and beat the people out of the temple. You got to look at the fact that was God doing it. Not pretending we're God or anything like that. After you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, we honor the fact that he died. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthy shall be good of the blood and the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself instead of eating that bread and drinking that cup. That's the thing right there, brother, sister. We are not close communicants. I don't care what religion you are, what nationality you are, what you're like or anything else. This is entirely up to you, this part of the service. You could be doing something to hinder somebody's healing.
but this is not it. You are the one who examines yourself. You are the one, you personally, I personally, am guilty or not. We hold nobody back. The only thing I see with Brother Branham, gross immorality. And I would not want that in this church. We don't have it. So we're not close communicants. We worship together and do the things the Lord wants to do. We examine ourselves. We eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats condemnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And there again, you know, discerning the Lord's body has about 15 major points to it. For this cause many are weak and sickly. Why did the healing revival that Brother Branham had break off? They didn't know who he was. They'd have known who he was, they'd all been healed. I'd have been healed, you'd have been healed. We're going to be. Now that we're getting to know. What really happened if we really, really understood his presence? That he could really stand us. We're afraid of him, sort of, so to speak. And it's a good thing, too. You can't just be, you know, too healthy, wealthy with God, so to speak, as though, you know, he's just an offhand character that you can sort of slight, you know. We really got really to recognize that presence. It wouldn't be the weak and sickly, and by the grace of God, there won't be. Judging ourselves, we will not be judged. White throne. We're judged, we're chastened to the Lord. We're not condemned with the world. Therefore, brethren, you come together to eat, to drink, carry one for another. That's it. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come to you now, having read your word, talked a little bit about it. People are going to come forward, Lord. And I believe tonight, Father, that it's not only possible, I believe that it's so close to, what will we say, Lord, 99% of one mind in the place, people trying to believe, wanting to believe, believing, anxious, heart and soul, Lord, one mind, beautiful, passive faith. To receive the word of the hour, which must come forth in dynamism. Somehow, some way, Lord, it'll be worked out. The sweet spirit coming in the church, bodies being changed, all those wonderful things, Lord, taking place, and a rapture taking the people out of here. And that's because you died, dear Jesus, upon Calvary's cross, and shed your blood, your broken body, witnessed by many. Tonight, Lord, we take these emblems thinking about it. And as we do, Lord, may there come reality as never before. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we rise at this time, Brother Lloyd? You come on ahead, and you know how to come from the back. My extreme left over here, come from the back, and come around, take your seat again, follow from the back of this section, and then round as we go.
There'll be no dismissal after this dismissal, after we rise, and of course you know where the foot washing is ministered in the two rooms down in the basement. And I just want to say before the service is over, I appreciate you people very much from the bottom of my heart, from all these, your faithfulness, your kindness, your goodness, your cooperation. And I would say that 1987 was an outstanding year in ministering in this place to this people. And what's come forth in the Word, and I see no reason to believe that 1988 will not be a better year still. There may be trials, and there will be. There has to be. There is no such thing as people escaping on this side of the river. But as we look back, they really don't amount to too much. And as we look forward, Brother Branham has told us, as an authenticated man of God vindicated, that our weapon is equivalent, is more than equivalent to the weapon of the enemy. Our faith in this word, though passive, much of it at this moment, is more than enough to give us the victory, no matter what is to come upon this earth. What 88 bears, I do not know, except it's going to be better than ever. The blessing of the Lord, his strengthening, his empowering, all of these things are greater. So I look forward to that. And of course, there are some times when I am seeming a little bit harsh with you. I do not mean to be. But God knows I can only preach a certain way. And that is concerning principles that we must look at. It's out of our hands, brother, sister, but it's in our hands. And maybe a little difficult at times for all of us, for my part speaking to you and your part receiving. But there's not malice toward anybody. Nothing vindictive at all, as far as I know. I wouldn't want it that way. But there is a word that we must all receive. And we must give account. And so I believe that you are faithful witnesses in the state of Ohio here, perhaps, and also up in Canada. And we got a couple also from over in Indiana areas, Michigan. Wherever you come from, I believe you're faithfulnesses to the word of the Lord which the prophet brought us. And one day, it will be very evident one day, and I don't believe it's too far, it'll be very evident that it paid to receive the word of God. So we have everything to be grateful for, nothing to be sorry about, but to go on serving the Lord. So let us rise at this time and just be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to ask you, your grace and your mercy to be extended toward us. We just thank you, O God, for what you've done for us and what you're going to do for us. It just looks like a great 1988, no matter what comes, it's going to be a crucial year, we believe it. But Lord, it doesn't matter, because you are here at the head of your church, putting your church in order to raise the dead and to get us out of here. And we know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that you're able to keep that which we committed unto you. And you're able, Lord, to perform, to complete that good work which you started. And we know, Lord, that this is the end time. And we're thankful, Father, for as a group of people we can be here tonight in this building, loving you, loving your word, loving each other, and knowing, Lord, that whether we know it or not, we are committed to you, to the word, and to each other. It is live, die, sink or swim. We are in this together, and we shall overcome through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, by the grace of Almighty God. Go with us, Lord, tonight. Give us rest, we pray. And our bodies, our hearts, and our minds, bring us back together, Lord. And we pray, Father, that tomorrow be a great day in thee, that people are refreshed and going on serving you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 'Standing here, we'll read a little of the scripture. And then instantly we'll have the table of the Lord. It's already a little later than I wanted, but by the grace of God, tomorrow you can finish what we're talking about tonight. All right, Paul speaking here. Lloyd, if you don't mind, come along at the same time, and the other people too that are going to play for us. Dave, be right handy here. For I received the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He wasn't killed yet, he was just betrayed. Remember, Christ gets betrayed in this hour. Now, they can't crucify him, but he gets betrayed. Don't think he doesn't. Come on, I've seen it done already. You wait to see the judgment that falls in certain places, my brother, my sister. I'm not free to tell you. I'm a big mouth. One day I'll let it all roll out. And you'll wonder why they're having trouble right now in a certain nation, why they're going to have more and more trouble. I can name you names, you bet I can. I'm only too well where Christ was betrayed. We know the Judases too. He was betrayed like he is now. And that's the hour he gave thanks for the body which would be broken. So this is the hour we better give thanks for the broken body. That we got a body we can look back that did the work in this great heightened hour of betrayal, which is the greatest betrayal the world has ever known, because when Jesus was betrayed the first time, that was amongst a few Jews. Today, this is a Gentile world. This do in remembrance of me. He took the cup. This cup is the New Testament, my blood. When was that? Before he's betrayed. Well, he's been betrayed once, he can be betrayed again. So what did he bring forth? He brought forth the blood. And the significance of the life. The broken body. You know, that signifies before it's over, we're all going to be healed. And the life shed signifies we'll all be so full of the life we can't die.
perfectly renewed. That's right. The Bible says so. Therefore, with that in mind, eat the bread and drink the cup. For I would say that anything else is unworthy of your thoughts and meditations upon it. Because this is that hour for that. If you never forget the vindication of that man, so strong, he said, I'll stand and raise Abraham Lincoln if God tells me. Defy the army to shoot me down if I can't do it. Take every spirit under control. Like David with Goliath made the man fall across his feet. God did. Brother, sister, what we're dealing with is God himself through a man. God once more tabernacled in human flesh. Now he's gone, it's in the bride. What must the bride do? Just follow right in his steps. We're not interested in big works and things. We're just interested in faith in Christ. Because faith is the victory that overcometh the world. That's what the Bible says, even our faith. So we eat and we drink. With this in mind, he's been betrayed. Yes, he has been betrayed. Crucified to themselves again, the Son of Man afresh. Put to an open shame. Blasphemed. Well, what do? Commemorate. And know what he's talking about. It's all here before us, brothers, sisters. Not hidden from us. Oh, one of these days, that Holy Spirit's going to break the bonds of these, this word in each one of us and come forth, brother, into a bride that's all glorious within and without. Yep. My faith rises year after year. More and more winging toward the promise that Brother Branham gave in spoken words, original seed. The bride will have the word, but she won't say a thing until she's told of the Lord, then she has thus saith the Lord. What a day that'll be. That to me, brother and sister, means this simply, as Brother Branham had that fantastic faith built upon a vindication, that same fantastic faith will be in our hearts by the vindication that's already taken place, the word of life coming to life within us. We don't have to do great miracles and things. I don't want to do great miracles. I want God to do a great miracle in me. Then I shall be happy. Let a man examine himself. Eat that bread, drink of that cup. If we've been doing the things in Corinthians here that Paul told us in chapter 5 we shouldn't be doing. Let's ask God to forgive us. Turn over that new leaf. Turn a new page. Walk in the light, brother, sister. We don't have much time left, you know. But you know, if we're worthy, confess those sins, see the truth tonight, stand with it, determined to help our brothers and sisters, that they'll walk in the light too, have fellowship. We won't be sick and weak. We've already judged ourselves. Now, one thing God in his judgment said, you're the perfect, sinless, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't even do it. That's your state. I mean, you're perfect standing before God. But tonight, we drink in faith, believing that what he said we are, what is ours. We take the emblems in gratitude that signify what it's all about. I ask you a question. Those that betrayed him, was his betrayal for them? No, it was for us. He's been betrayed again. Who is it for? Them? No, it's for us. Wouldn't be loosed. The Alpha is the Maker, brother. Says Maker's Alpha. Wouldn't be loosed upon us. So let's get our eyes inwardly with the word of God tonight as we eat and drink of the Lord. The Lord bless you, Heavenly Father, now. Just bless these emblems, O God. May they be, Lord Jesus Christ, the emblems of what we truly said. And what we truly said, Lord, let it be life and drink and meat unto us now. Become a living part of our living souls to permeate our very beings and help us, Lord, as never before, to walk in the light with that judicious godliness that comes through the life of the Word in a sanctified sheep, a vessel unto honor. And we shall give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Morning, 10 o'clock, as usual, on a weekend like this. And now this is dismissal, so if you please rise and be dismissed, then you carry on the foot washing service. Gracious Heavenly Father, dismiss us, we pray. But yet, Lord, do not dismiss us in that
the richness of thy Spirit and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts to thee, to thy word, and consequently to thy people, Lord, may be so dynamic and beautiful, Lord, that we rest with a lovely rest tonight, Lord, with peace with thee and peace with each other, peace with ourselves, the God of all grace having comforted and helped us, knowing, Lord, better fitting us for the battle. And Lord God, we not only battle the enemy, battle ourselves, but we battle for each other, Lord, that we might fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, press the battle to the gate, Lord, all of us in marching to Zion, Lord, not one of us missing. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, and then we'll go to the communion foot washing. And where should we read from tonight? Well, I don't know, but it just seems as good to read the 13th chapter of John for no particular reason except it just seems to be there. All right. I like the first verse that says, now before the feast of the Passover, that's the slaying of the lamb, the blood sacrifice for sins. When Jesus knew that his hour was come to be that blood sacrifice, the lamb without spot and without blemish, the shedding of his blood, it had come now, that he was going to leave the world. His body, of course, would go to the grave. It says he'd go to the Father. That's naturally, certainly would. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he loves us. And he's prayed for us. And of course, if he's crucified to the people afresh in the hour of betrayal, then we know that the same love is here for us in this hour. There's no doubt about it. He's loved us. Well, certainly he's proved it by manifesting through the prophet. And supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I wonder how many people had in their heart to betray the prophet. You know, some people say, well, I just can't take this business, you know, about this constant talking to Brother Branham. Like one fellow phoned me, he said, Lee, could you go any place in the world and not mention Brother Branham's name? She wants to put me on the spot, you see. I didn't bother answering. He said, I asked a certain guy and he couldn't answer. I could answer him and I can tell you this. Whosoever receiveth whomsoever I send receives me.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
And he that receives a prophet, the name of a prophet, receives the prophet's reward.
Amen.
People like that, if they ever got into an office where they could be big shots, look out, baby. They haven't got a clue. But they like to think they got clues. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't go anywhere without mentioning Brother Branham. And I don't intend to either, tell you the truth. And I don't take away from God when I do it. You've never ever heard me put Brother Branham in the place of God as though he were God. But like you and me, he stands and he stood in the stead of God, like you and I do. But he did it in a way that you and I couldn't do it. Anybody knows those things. Good heavens. You know. But if you want to fuss and fight, you know. Just because a child screams, there's no need for the parent to scream. You know, I could say some more things, but I'm not given to tonight. It would be typical Lee Vale sarcasm. We don't need it. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he was come from God and went to God. Do you know that's going on now, that God is putting all things under his feet? Right. Who came down? God came down. Going off the throne, came down. What's he doing? Bringing the church into order. See? We're going to rise to him. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Poured the water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with his girded. And cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Why are you doing this anyway? Jesus said, what I do... you don't know now, but you'll know later on. And Peter said, you will never wash my feet. In other words, you tell me now, you ain't going to do it. Explain it all. Yeah, people are stupid. Peter was stupid, we're all stupid. See?
God does things. And he does it his own way. And he has a prophet do it and then explain it. But like Peter, that's not good enough. See? He's got to have all the answers. We don't have all the answers, except we got the answer. You don't worry about it. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Then Peter, he just went entirely flipped. He said, all right, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Now, Brother Branham said, always looking back, always looking forward, never looks going on. People want to be so smart that they want to look on, look back and look forward. You can't do it. And why try to do it? So Peter was flipping, which is all right. And Jesus said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, that was Judas. Now notice, you can have a whole big group of people say they believe Brother Branham, literally thousands and thousands, but they're amongst them those that aren't clean. They're just not clean. They're not there righteous. Some are filthy. Just, you can't help it, because this is the time it happens. He knew who was going to do it. Brother Branham said, I know my Judas. He said Jesus had his. I was around Brother. I know what the man went through times. So after he'd washed their feet, he took his garment, sat down again. He said, do you know what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord. You say, well, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and Master, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, this is very, very true. That living the word is a million times better than preaching it. Though living the word is not sufficient. Because if you see a man, he doesn't tell you what makes him click, then you're completely more devastated than before because you saw something clicking and you don't know anything about it. Brother Branham had to tell and witness concerning the things that were of God. So you do both. But example always goes with precept. Verily I send you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that sent him greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Now he said, you know them, and so you should do them. And this refers again to the pastor and the people. The pastor should at all times try to be, literally cause himself to be with the strength of God, to be an example to the people. That's a rough one. That they might follow. Paul the apostle said, be a follower of me as I am of Christ. He didn't say, look, now there's certain things I'm going to do that aren't of the Lord. Now use better lay off those. No, he didn't say that. Put himself on the spot. So, all right, foot washing is a time of assessment for the pastor and the people and for the homes. I remember, I can't remember the man's name, but he was one of the really great old-time American preachers of tremendous courage, humility, grace, tremendous servant of God. And one day he was walking with his little boy, and his boy was dressed as a little gentleman, and a great big burly fella began to, you know, make comments and criticize and make fun of the boy. And it said that that great man, with tears in his eyes, said, sir, I beseech you, do not do those things before my little boy. He doesn't understand, and it may hurt him, and I do not want to see him hurt. You know, there is so little today because of the spirit in the air to really get down to the old-fashioned, godly homes that once was the trademark of Christianity. It seems to have disappeared in the seventh age what it once was in the sixth. But you know, I believe that's going to come back to the young people who are rearing their children now, the love and admonition of the Lord, that have made their vows to each other in this word, will stay with it. Constantly know that they affect each other and let that be for good. The one doesn't live without the other, but each lives for the other. Thereby enhances himself, herself, and thereby enhances the family, because that kind of love is always productive and never counterproductive. And this was a productive love to these people here that was not counterproductive. Because the day came, as Jesus said to Peter, said, you can take your feet, carry you wherever you want to go. There'll be a day come when someone else will carry you and do nothing about it. And that came when Peter was going to be crucified. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way Christ was. Turn me upside down. They crucified him head down. So, when we look at foot washing and understand, it means the humility in our lives, in the church, in our homes. We know one thing. It is not counterproductive, but it is productive, because not one word of God will fail. So, at this time, we ask you all to stand. The brethren to come forward that are going to serve, and those that are going to be up here taking care of the music and the singing, just come along so that those who are going to play will be able to take communion, and everything will follow in an order which is acceptable. Very well, shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we know you're here tonight. We know your Spirit is in our midst. We know your Spirit is in us. We believe we're born again. And we take these emblems tonight, Lord, on the grounds that they are emblems of your shed blood and the life that you bring back upon us, and all which is in the life, and also it exalt thee as that true and great manifested one, true Melchizedek. For you said, I'm upon my Father's throne for having overcome. You took the seals off the book, and you handed the book down here, and now we're entering in right to the tree of life, the gates of the city, immortality. All of these things, Lord, are here as we partake of the emblems which represent the blood that was shed and the life that comes back upon us. Father, we're looking for the fulfillment of that great life in our own lives as humble, sweet Christians, Lord. O God, reflecting your light in your life. Looking to the day when we can be glorified with you, we're not worthy. We couldn't ask it, Lord. You proffered it to us. And we trust we have been able to receive it and stand here waiting our turn, Lord. In the meantime, Father, we know if any time a people should be humble. I know people think we're proud and arrogant, fussy and fumy, Lord. I don't believe we are. I believe, if anything, the truth is that what you've done humbles us down to know that it's all of grace and the goodness of God. May that be in our hearts and minds tonight as we partake. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Morning service at 10 o'clock, and I'll be taking the questions that have been handed in to me. I think I have enough here to have a long enough discourse for tomorrow morning. Don't have to go the full hour and a half, but there are quite a few questions, so do our best to answer those. And, of course, as usual, we repair to the downstairs for foot washing, and we just consider this our dismissal. So shall we rise and be dismissed? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to praise and thank you again for your kindness tonight, Lord. We believe, Father, that we have tried to see your word and understand it and feed our souls thereby, that it may become, Lord, physical flesh, the flesh of these bodies, that we may be, Lord, your word somehow, some way. Father, we know that it's only you can do it, Lord. Only you can bring us to that place. And so we're hungering and thirsting for it, Lord. And you said that those that hunger and thirst would be filled. You can't do anything for those that are full, Lord, but you can do plenty for those that are empty. They're crying for more and more. And we do cry for more and more of you. Now, Father, as we repair to the foot washing, we pray that you'll bless us there also. Bless us on our way home and getting home, Lord, with a night's rest. But above all, may the Holy Spirit continue to take this word and make us so sober and serious concerning it, O God, that our lives will be changed from one glory to another, Lord, from one season to another season, Lord, deeper, deeper in the love of Christ. Now, we just ask you to help us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, dismiss us. Amen. The Lord bless you. Gracious Heavenly Fathers, we're assembled here not only to hear your word, but to partake of these emblems which communicate to ourselves, to our brothers and sisters here, to you and to the world, that we believe that what was done on that great Good Friday, your crucifixion, dear Lord Jesus Christ, wherein the life that formed your body shed forth the life that was in that bloodstream, in that very body, shed for us
for the remission of sins, and now has come back upon us. Removing the cross of the ages where man crossed you, and you crossed back to us. So now you're reconciled to us, Lord, and by your grace we're reconciled to you. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can be thoroughly reconciled by removing our part of the cross, Lord, taking away that rough timber that comes against the timber of God, our thoughts, Lord, that come against your thoughts. Lord, we see that our own crossing up, the crossing up our ancestors have brought nothing but degradation, destitution, all of those things, Lord, which actually we hate. We don't want them, Lord. We want them out of our lives. May the blood of Jesus Christ tonight cleanse each and every one with a special cleansing, Father God, as never before, because we know there's a cleansing operation going on daily in our life. But let this be, Lord, a monumental day where somehow decisions are made within the soul and the mind. And your Holy Spirit, Lord, overshadowing us to the extent that those decisions are of you, and they are empowered and they are enforced by you, O God. So that we're learning more and more, Lord, how to get out of the way and let you have your way, Father. May this be a glorious time of coming together. As people came in expectation, Lord, let it be a receiving of an expectation that they didn't really expect, though somehow they wanted it, O God. That these lives here, I'm talking about myself and everyone in divine presence. I'm not excluding anybody, Lord, not one single person. But the divine expectation of God be manifested in each heart. Where we walk in the light, Lord, as you're in the light. We have that fellowship one with another, blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. The love of God forming that cloud that Brother Branham spoke of. Coming more and more in this church, Lord, and every church represented. Until the sick are healed amongst us, O God. There's not one that is feeble, Lord. We're asking, Father, for what the Passover brought. Knowing if the blood of bulls and goats could do what it did back there. How much more, Lord, will the blood and the word of the everlasting covenant now perform what the prophet said in this last day is set before us. Now, Father, we don't understand it all. We haven't got it all in our hearts and minds sorted out. We don't, but we praying tonight, Lord, that in this little faith that we set before you at this moment, that we just rest with what he said and know that the bride will receive it. And there's going to be a bride get out of here, Lord, standing on her feet. And she'll be immortal and glorified because we know the cross has paid for that glory. Father, it'd be just so nice tonight if we could just, and we can, Lord, just rest in it. And rest in it, and rest in it, Lord, until this is the rest of the Lord. Now, Father, bless your people as they come one by one. And each one, Lord, realize the responsibility that you laid upon yourself for them. And in gratitude, Lord, leave here with a measure of the Spirit of God in consecration as never before in the closing off in these last days when perhaps we will never have the opportunity to celebrate, as it were, another Good Friday and a resurrection morning. And we'll give you the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.